All right, season 2, episode 1, finally. Jason's so excited that we have a season 2. That's all he's been talking about is wanting seasons.
What's up,
for
everybody?
Some reason.
Yep.
But we're doing it today. We got a special one. We've got a few people that are near and dear to our hearts, and
we got the bros here.
We got the bros.
We have
nobody closer. Nobody closer than your bros.
We got the homies, the band Stanridge.
Minus one.
Our drummer's not here, yeah. But he'll be on maybe someday.
He's here in spirit.
So today we have Jacob Martin.
Ayo.
And we have JD Wheeler.
Hello.
All right. Let's get this going.
All right. So Jason, here's what we do, man. We've got the artist spotlight.
All right.
But for as many times as we've talked about the Stanridge album releasing and not releasing it.
Yeah.
We're going to talk.
February, right?
Yeah, February. Then March. We can collectively say right now, 4 out of 5 people, this album is going to be released in March.
Yeah. February 2022.
It can.
2020, yes, it February can. 2022. It could be.
Yeah,
it's could. Possible. But I think we should just go ahead and say, screw it. We're releasing this thing in puppy in March.
Let's put it out there and work on other stuff.
Okay.
So
now with that being said, because we want to do that, let's
so
talk
the
about
song,
it.
Yeah, the song you guys heard in the intro was actually one from the new EP.
Yeah.
That's coming out.
That one's called Surrender.
Yep.
We got 6 songs on that puppy.
6 songs total. Yep.
Yeah. It's a quarantine baby.
So yes, it was actually written a year ago. This month.
Yeah, seriously, started in March. That's crazy. Yeah.
So the rough demos were written during quarantine, and then, like, as always, demos are brought to the rest of the band, and they just all make it better. They, like, we all add in our 2 cents, and it just keeps building and keeps building, and I can't believe it's been a year.
This was the one that was written actually by a majority of the band being present, because the other 5 were all done by basically Jason and Isaac.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember because like quarantine started and me and JD are roommates, so we were quarantined together. We actually both got COVID, and so we were locked down for quite a while. And then like, I mean, a couple of months went by, and when I came over the first time, you were like, I didn't even know. You were like, hey, check out this EP that we had pretty much written.
Yeah,
you played the whole thing for me, and I was just like, what the heck? I was just like, the whole EP is like almost done. Mm-hmm. There was one song though that we cut, and then this is the song that.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean the benefit of having a band, I had no idea what to do with that song.
Mm-hmm.
And when I showed it to Jacob, he was like, okay, let me take this. I sent it to him. He basically deleted it and rewrote
the entire song.
And we were like, oh,
not
okay.
Even like, it was literally, I went home and demoed something else completely different.
Yeah.
I brought it back, and the only thing we kept from it was the chorus.
Basically,
and then we did the rest of the song from there.
Yeah, the whole band touched it after that, and then we kind of retroactively went to the rest of the songs, and everyone added their 2 cents and their own performance and stuff like that. But yeah, I had a blast. Making it. I think the material is really fun, and I can't wait to play it live.
Yeah, we should have another lockdown again, so we can release another album.
I like going outside. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I specifically remember going to your house or townhome, like whatever it is, wherever you live, your rock.
Where are we now?
How did I get here?
I don't know. JD, you kind of just appear places.
I have that pattern with people.
It's like you speak of him and he just kind of shows
like,
up.
That's honestly like, how I got my job. I just showed up and acted like
it's
I worked
like Beetlejuice.
There. And eventually they had Beetlejuice. Enough info to pay me.
Yeah, if you turn off the lights and say JD, JD, JD in the mirror, he just appears.
Anyways, I specifically remember coming over to your house every single weekend on Friday and literally not going home until Monday morning. I literally stayed. Your townhome was my weekend home, and all we did was write music. Mm. It was literally a song every weekend.
I think we wrote the song Tragedy before lockdown. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
I vaguely remember playing that one at practice.
Yes.
Yeah. We rehearsed that one.
We definitely rehearsed that.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever play it live?
No, because we had a show with who's
Careful Gaze.
Yeah, Careful Gaze from Minnesota.
Minnesota.
They're from Minnesota. Shout out to them if they ever listen.
That shut down because of COVID, right?
Yep. That was going to be at Killers
Tacos in Denton.
Oh yeah.
And I remember like that was like the moment when it all became real to me, because it was I was hearing about, there were so many shows that were supposed to happen that summer that I was so excited to go to. They got canceled. And then I remember thinking, well, I'm an artist. My band got a show, got canceled by all this. It's like, I take that personally. COVID, what the heck?
Yeah, for real. It kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I guess all the rest of the songs were kind of built around tragedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, to get more into detail, like, a lot of the songs are in the key of B or B flat. And tragedy pretty much is well within that key, but it has a lot of different chord shapes that I normally don't do, and like just like inversions and stuff. And the rest of the instrumentals were kind of built within that same vein, basically.
It's like a, not necessarily, but it's like a flowing album. So like, not like a one song album kind of thing, but they all kind of tie together. So
Yeah, I guess you could say it's a concept album kind of, or each song has the same theme.
There's definitely a general theme.
I feel like in the past we were good at making like, oh shoot, we got these four chords, let's make a song about it, and then oh, that's our song, and then now we've got four of these songs that are all not connected at all, except they have slightly different chord progressions.
Right.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So shout out to Life Lessons for you and me, Jason. Life Lessons is a band that did we spotlight them once?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. I listened to their full album.
They inspired the song, or a portion of the song, Gray.
Gray. Mm. And I mean, actually, they inspired quite a few songs vocally for me, like melody wise and voice inflection wise. So I got a large inspiration from them, and then really you built off of that inspiration from me, and you were just like, I just want to make this freaking technical. And then we made it freaking technical, and it was super fun to play.
I just remember kind of having the template of a song, and I'm like, hey, there should be a more interesting part here. It's like, Jacob, can you come up with something? You're like, yeah, sure. And then he just pulled out this tapping out of nowhere.
Like, what the heck?
That's the thing that it almost stresses me out, is thinking about, like, we're getting closer to a time where it's like,
we can play
like, shows might start happening again. I have so much material that I wrote that I need to learn to play.
Yeah, seriously.
Live.
I was like, how does this song go again?
Yes.
I agree. I don't remember some of the chords, like, in Decay. No. Like, I don't really remember how that one goes.
I have not played along to our music since
you, like, recorded it.
Down our bass parts.
Dang. Yeah. It's so easy to lose.
Yep.
Lose the drive to even practice when there's so much going on.
A good maybe a good little segue here is, like, because we've been a band for how long now?
A few years, 2 years, 3 years.
Like, well, technically,
Meet Me in the Meantime,
we've been making music since like 2017.
Yeah, because we were playing shows, and like what I wanted to say is, like, what was like a moment live where you were just like, wait, what is going on? Like, I didn't even know.
Okay, let me start this off. Killer Tacos.
Second worst.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's the worst.
If you're gonna talk if you're gonna talk about me falling off the stage, that's another story.
Yeah. Okay. Completely other story. That's what I was thinking of.
Now,
okay, well, hang on. To preface, the Killer Tacos show was
acoustic.
Okay,
all acoustic.
It was an acoustic show, and the rest of the artists on there were like spoken word artists. Why did we even play that
they
show?
They straight up did slam poetry after.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Slam poetry.
But it felt like
lovely.
I was the one getting slammed because our show was that terrible. Dude.
That was one of those things where it could have been so good, and it wasn't.
Okay, well, here's the thing. It was the perfect storm, okay? Because, one, I think 3 out of our 5 members were actually sick, including me.
I know you
I know I was sick.
You
had a fever the day before, and you also were, like, stuffed up and, you know, had some weird head stuff going on. Like, you had a head cold. You, Jacob.
Well, you're saying you. Specify for the listeners.
Okay, yeah. You, Jason. And then Jacob, I remember you not feeling that great. Or maybe it was JD or something. I think you ate like a burrito or something, and you, like,
that sounds like JD.
Yeah, that sounds like
that's
JD.
Like an every other day.
I mean, we were at a Mexican restaurant, so it's like, you know, JD just goes.
No, I ate afterwards. I remember how unsatisfying those tacos were, because I was like, this is the worst show of my life.
Yeah.
Get me a beer. Oh, wait, I'm not 21 yet.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now for me, I took DayQuil.
Understatement.
Okay. No. I took
DayQuil.
I drank DayQuil.
You lived on a diet of
DayQuil. The extra dosage bottle that you can buy for like severe. I started taking that at 10 o'clock in the morning. Double dose on each time I would take it every 6 hours. Okay, so yeah. I was already doubled up on DayQuil. Next, my nose was so stuffed up that I could barely sing, and I sounded like Kermit the Frog. I literally sounded like Kermit the Frog. That's what I sounded like.
That's why you were chugging it.
And that's why I was chugging DayQuil. On top of that, I took effective?
Ibuprofen.
Allergy medicine.
Oh.
Benadryl?
Benadryl. Yes. Yes. I took Benadryl.
Dude,
I took
Benadryl.
I took two Benadryl hour before the show. Nothing had hit me.
I have really bad allergies growing up. Let me tell you, Benadryl will knock you out.
Okay. Yeah, seriously. So I took that an hour before the show because I thought I'd be safe, you know.
Knowing that
I was gonna eat food, I was gonna drink.
I don't know how you did not fall asleep during our show.
I almost did.
Okay. It makes sense how you forgot the words of a verse.
All right, let me talk about that moment. So basically, Isaac was high, essentially.
I was heavily medicated.
He was heavily medicated here. And I remember we were playing one of our old Meet Me in the Meantime songs called Ablaze, okay? This is a song that we have probably played like 50 times, like rehearsing and live.
And this was your dad's favorite song, too. We played it on his birthday.
We did. My dad really liked that one. Anyway, it got to verse 2 after the chorus or something, and Isaac was supposed to come in with verse 2, but instead he just sat there. And
I forgot,
like, kind of like
I forgot at least 3 bars of that verse.
He did. He was just sitting there. We were playing the whole verse, and he was just kind of swaying.
Yeah.
He was just kind of like saying randomly.
I was literally drifting off into the unknown in some nebula, dude. Like it literally turned from a punk song with punk lyrics into like some artsy jazz sounding verse.
You were making up words.
I was literally making up words because I could not remember for the life of me.
Okay, I remember that.
And to make it even worse, we put Jacob on piano for that show.
Dude, I wanted to play piano because like at the time I had been like playing some piano, and so the thing about Ablaze. What was the other song that was also in the key of C that we played a lot?
I remember how to play it on the acoustic version.
Are you talking about Levy?
No, it wasn't Levy. It was another, because it was a 4-chord.
Is it Looking Up?
Yes. Was that Looking Up?
Yeah, that's Looking Up.
Okay, so those two songs, like, literally almost have the exact same chord progressions in the exact same key, but they are slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a guitar player, and I was playing piano, and I got confused on which song that we were playing. So I started playing different chords between what Jason and JD were playing.
But we were playing different chords from me and Jason too.
Because it was just like freeform jazz.
I don't even remember which one of us, but one of us was recognized what you were doing and it was different. No, and we were trying to correct.
That was me.
And then we both were correcting in different ways.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yes. So I mean, Jacob was a phenomenal piano player and musician, but he was just playing his own song.
Dude, in the moment, I was just like, this is bad. I know that this is wrong, and I don't know how to fix it.
I remember you just staring at the keys refusing to look up and acknowledge
I remember because I heard it, and I started picking up on it. It basically, I think like an A minor and an F were like just switch in the progression or something.
Yeah.
And I started playing that, and JD kept turning to look at me, and he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, follow me. And he's like, what? Like, I was trying to motion to him.
No, I was trying to make you follow me because I knew I was right.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
But at the same time, Jacob was wrong.
Yes.
So that's just what threw everything off.
On top of that,
okay,
we still had our old drummer who was playing a very...
She was playing a cajon as the kick.
A very stripped kick. So it was... Oh, man.
Yeah, it was not a fun time. And did we get paid for that?
No.
Did we?
I don't think we did.
I didn't see any money.
No, yeah.
Wait,
no,
you guys are getting paid?
Yeah, no, JD, you don't get anything. You're the bassist. Anyways,
just bass.
Yeah, you're just bass, dude.
Can I purchase any shares in the company here?
No, sorry, bro.
We don't have any shares. By the other three members.
You could, but it's just more money for us.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, what's yours, Jason? What's your what the F moment while playing?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's not as comical. It's just like a technical failure.
I think I know what you're going to say.
I think we were playing at the Curtain Club, or maybe it was Reno's.
No. It was
that Reno's show.
The two that I'm thinking of that for you would be at Curtain Club.
Okay, I think it was Curtain Club, and I was playing my semi-hollow body Reverend with a Bigsby tremolo, and I had a saddle completely fall out of the bridge.
Yes.
Oh. And it dropped on the ground, and the, if you know what that is, it's a really tiny chrome piece of the guitar. Yeah. It fell off. So basically an entire string was resting on nothing.
I didn't even know this.
Yeah, so every chord I played was like, and I think I even had like a single string note line for something in the song, and I couldn't play it at all.
Oh, sounds like a banjo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the part. Yes, the part came, and I just couldn't play it at all. So the song just kept going, and the whole song, I'm looking at the ground, like trying to look for the piece, and a sound guy ended up helping me find it after that song. It was
it's
a nightmare.
So funny. All right, Jacob.
What was the second one you were mentioning?
The other one, I don't think it ever affected you, but I remember that your amp was overheating during one show.
Oh yeah, the head.
Yes.
That only prevented the end of one song where I cut out, but then it was fine. After
and
that.
it was operator error. You remember? Because you didn't have a speaker cable.
Oh yeah.
You're using a quarter inch cable.
I used an unshielded. an unshielded quarter inch cord from a tube head into a cabinet.
Yeah,
and you're not supposed to do that. So dumb.
Because even I remember when that was happening, I missed it too. Because you were talking about how that was happening. We were looking at your amp, and I was just like, I should know this because I used to own like a PV stack amp, and I was just like, I don't know, man. And then it was like, maybe
sorry,
it's
bro,
the head.
Let's do this thing. One, two, three, four.
Didn't you send it to the shop?
I did. I think because I played
they
that.
They were like, this amp's fine.
Yes. Well, I actually damaged it by playing it overheated.
Oh, really? I think it was a
super easy fix. Okay. Like a fuse went out. That's it. Like, that's a really easy fix.
For me, I'm trying to remember. There's so many, like, I think the biggest one would be the Killer's Tacos show where I was playing piano and just forgot how our songs went. Yeah. But there was one time, I don't know if I've even told y'all this out of shame, where there was a song it was definitely a curtain club because we started the set and I don't remember what song we used to start with or whatever, but it was definitely we started the set and I was standard tuned and I was supposed to be drop D. Oh,
I remember that happening.
Okay, yeah, so you did hear it. So I remember I was playing and I heard it in the house speakers. I went, those chords are wrong. And then like in the middle of the song.
Who's playing that, Jason?
And then in the middle of the song, like literally I could see a couple people looking at me as I'm just like, I just went, meow. I just like threw the E string down. I got it like pretty close in one spin, got it down to E to D.
That is a skill.
That must have been cold-hearted.
It must have been. Because there weren't a whole lot of songs in the early days where I played, like, chords necessarily. Because I just, like...
Dogfight.
Oh, no, do not bring that song up ever again.
That is my dad's favorite song.
Dude, that is a couple people's favorite song. And I'm like, what the heck is so wrong with you?
We played it once, like, pretty much out of necessity.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, for context, Dogfight was... the fact that the song is called Dogfight...
tells you a lot.
It tells you a lot. It was a song written early on in the formation of Meet Me in the Meantime.
Yeah, we wrote that with...
It was before Jacob. It was before JD. Yep.
Wow.
That's when we had the drummer at the time's brother-in-law playing bass.
And I remember... Go ahead.
It was right before the first house show. We've already talked about the house show on the podcast. But it was right before the first house show, and we scrambled to get one more song for our four-song set. So we put that together out of thin air, and we ended up carrying it to our headliner, which was at the Profit Bar.
Which was out of necessity. We needed. Yeah. It was the same thing. We just needed one more song.
Not only that it was out of necessity, whenever people started cheering encore, we had to repeat a different song completely. A song we had already played completely.
We got an encore. I forgot we got an encore for that.
We played Zero Gravity.
Twice.
We have my friend Brian to thank for that one because...
Did he do that?
He was having a good time that night, and he just chanted encore as a joke, and then everyone joined in.
What's funny? We talked about that beforehand. We said, so when we were practicing for that show, we were playing every single song that we had ever written, which was like six songs, or seven songs, whatever. And we said, what if they call for an encore? And then one of you brought up how y'all had seen, there was a band that y'all saw live that just repeated a song.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember what band it was.
I think that was me. I think I went to a Convictions and Darkness Divided show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like shortly before all that.
And I remember thinking, I was like, dude, that's actually cool. Like, I mean, if they're asking you to play one more song, because there's been like shows, I was like, dude, that song is good. I could hear that again.
Oh, yeah. It felt good afterwards. And like, that's what I was thinking.
Whenever that was happening, and we were all looking at each other like, what do we do?
No, I literally
I picked up the set list and just handed it to Isaac and just started pointing. I was like, just pick one. And so we played
Zero Gravity, go.
But the thing was, that was our closer for the set. So we literally played Zero Gravity. They back called for back? Encore. And then we just played Zero. Yes. Wasn't it?
No,
or am I wrong?
No, I thought we played Levy again.
I think we finished with Levy.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Because that was our finisher.
That makes sense.
That was our hardest one.
Yeah,
dude.
Okay. What were you saying about Dogfight though? I feel like we interrupted that.
No, not really. That's the last song.
Yeah, screw that song.
One comment I had about that song. I remember the first practice, or maybe it was the second practice, that we did in Jason's old studio at his parents' house.
Mm. Which was a bedroom, not a studio.
It was a bedroom studio, you know.
It was a studio to me, okay?
It's okay. It was great. It was the coolest thing I'd seen in that regard at that point in my life.
Yeah, you gave me a stop sign.
Oh yeah,
it's still there. It's still there. We were there today. There's a massive sign that you took off the street and gave it to us.
I did not. Okay.
You found it.
I didn't do it. I was gifted a stop sign that may or may not have been on a street in Midland, Texas that my cousin had stumbled upon. That's all I can say about it. But it ended up, she gave it to me because I helped her move, mm-hmm. and it just ended up in my trunk for about a year until we got to Jason's studio whenever I joined the band, and there were all these signs and stuff in there. I was like,
street signs,
take my stop sign. It's just in my trunk.
It's a gift, a peace offering.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, JD, say yours, and then we'll go to...
About Dogfight?
Yeah. No.
Just like, what's like,
no,
a,
like, what was your what the F moment?
Like we a thing playing? Live, or you were just like, oh, you know, like...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I still have other memories we could talk about, but what do you got?
There was one specific moment that happened... what was the place? J&J's or JJ's?
J&J's.
J&J's, yeah. Pizza shop in Denton.
Yeah, at the basement at J&J's.
Oh, man, I have...
I can't even remember what song it was, but there's this part that... There was this song that we have... I swear, I cannot even remember which song it was because it's been so long since we played together. But there's a part where it's like everything's kind of quiet and then the bass mm-hmm. is the first thing to come on. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of a difficult part, and it was a new song for me at the time, and I just completely flubbed it. It was super loud, too, because we had that massive, like, six-speaker
oh
stack.
Oh, my gosh. I just bought that for you. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I remember that thing was so powerful that it was destroying itself.
Destroy itself.
I remember after that set, because I felt bad, because when we played that show, I brought... earplugs basically, because it's in a mm-hmm. basement. J&J's, it's in a basement, a concrete basement. It is freaking loud in there.
Yeah.
And I put in my earplugs and then like sound check myself because there's like nothing's the PA is for the mic. And
right.
The amps, the drums, nothing's mic'd up. You're just playing.
You're playing.
Yeah.
And I turned
on
my
the
amp.
Floor.
I turned my
stage.
Yes. I turned my amp up and I looked at Jason. Like I was playing and I couldn't really hear you. And so I told you, hey, turn your amp up. And then the bass amp is also. I mean, it was a freaking like 12-foot tall bass cab.
Yep.
And so like I remember after that set finished and I felt like it went well. The set did. And then like a couple of the other bands that were playing, they were just like oh man, like y'all are so good, like tones. I remember like feeling so good about it, and then a couple of them were like, yeah, like man, it is loud in here, and I was like, dude, we just played way too loud.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sorry. There's really nothing you can do when you're in a cement cube.
That's literally what it
but
was.
But it's dude, it was punk to the core.
It was.
You know? And
that was fun. It's always been fun to play.
That's when I hung from the ceiling.
You did?
There was a song where I literally got up, wrapped my legs around the center beam of that basement, and hung upside down and sang Zero Gravity.
That was kind of was embarrassing in the moment, but honestly, looking back,
it's one of the sickest pictures I've ever had taken in my entire life.
We got a really cool picture.
Heck yeah.
That was our first show with Alexis, actually.
Oh, the only
it
show
was.
With Alexis.
Yeah.
So Alexis was come by in. Default our best show.
Yeah. Alexis is our drummer, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I think we've talked a little bit too long here. We need to go into
We could go on and on.
No. We're going to keep going, but we need to get to our ads.
Because Sorry. One thing I keep remembering is your sister.
I was going to bring that up, dude.
Yes, okay. Bar.
Let me paint the picture here.
No, we don't have to talk about that because.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to think.
My sister just basically got. She's a big fan.
Yeah. You are a band. Yeah. That's what she told me.
Let's see. I had another story. Well, we didn't talk about you falling off the stage for one.
Okay. You haven't talked about that?
No, we haven't talked about
that. Okay. We should talk about. Are we going to break now or?
Yeah,
something?
Let's just get a break. Just get a break right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we have a promotion from Anchor. Thank you, Anchor. We'll put that right now.
Off. There's this story of me. Was this our first show?
Yes.
This was our absolute first show.
Oh my! It actually
it was the first show. The we
first
ever
show
we ever did,
and that one had the most people.
No.
Yeah. No. No. It was the Fang show. Maybe. It was the Fang show.
The most people that we ever played for was that. St. Patty's Day weekend.
Oh yeah.
Where like Deep Ellum was shut down. It
was
like,
was that Reno?
It was
that was
no,
Reno.
No.
It was
that
Curtain Club.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That was like it wasn't, you know, I don't think Curtain Club sold out in a long time.
No.
Unless you count your dad's church when we played first birthday.
No.
I still think there've been like the same amount of people.
Oh yeah,
honestly.
There's a lot of people at that show.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. Our first show with Fangs, who was an artist from Nashville at the time. I think he moved here, it doesn't matter. What song was this? Was this Zero Gravity? No, this was Zero Gravity.
This was Zero Gravity.
It was Zero Gravity because there's a part where we get super big and I'm just like, this is a failure.
Yep.
And I just fell over the top. Okay, how high is that stage?
The
I would say at least four
Club,
to 5 feet.
Yes, it is obnoxiously tall.
Yeah, it was obnoxiously tall. We get this song going. I'm getting hyped as I usually do. I think I account. I have to make up for JD's energy. So I'm like triple the energy. Because JD's a rock on stage, you know? He just doesn't move.
I got better as time went on.
Well, yeah. You're just the bassist holding it down.
Yeah, dude.
Why you gotta do him like that?
No, I'm just messing with him, dude. You know, he's the bassist.
Show, I will concede. I had no energy on stage.
Yeah.
Even though afterwards I had so much adrenaline from it, that being my first show ever. I thought I had like just killed it on stage energy wise, and then all of you guys were like, dude, you should have moved more.
You should have moved at all. You know, but anyways, you probably could have said that I was a little too energetic. But but anyways,
this is a learning experience.
I was gonna run up to the front of the stage and like put my hands up, do the normal punk stuff, get everybody jumping up and down with the whole bridge or whatever it was.
I don't remember.
And then I literally had so much momentum running up to the front of the stage that I could not stop myself from tumbling over the stage. I landed. Okay, this still haunts me. I landed face first into a chick's chest.
Oh. Congrats.
No, it was awkward. And here's where it gets even more awkward, okay? So
She'll forever remember
no,
that.
No, she came up to me after the show and she's just like, that was so awesome. And I was just like, hey, thanks for catching me. And she's just like, anytime. It was kind of weird, you know? But anyways, so I have to push myself off of her. Obviously, I'm touching her chest on accident, and
bro,
and it's just so awkward, and she's trying to get me off of her and I'm trying to roll off of her. There's a couple people in the way, and then I literally land on the ground and people start circling around me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. I remember I hate this so much. This is so cringe.
Dude, I still make fun of you for this.
This is so cringe. We had a buddy Chris.
Mm-hmm.
At the show.
Hopefully he'll be on someday.
Yeah, he'll be on someday. But anyways, Chris always was our hype guy. He always said that he was our manager.
Yeah,
even though
he
wasn't.
He says he's our manager, guitar fill-in, our merch guy.
Yeah, he's the guy that asks for
Wait,
merch.
Does he have shares in this company?
No.
More than you.
None of that for the band.
He owns the band. No, but I knew he was around somewhere. I don't know why I had the mic to my mouth still. But I literally went like a helpless little girl. Chris, where's Chris? Chris, like a freaking superhero, bat out of hell, comes running through the crowd and starts vibing with me as we're doing the breakdown in Zero Gravity.
Yep. It was so awkward.
And then I was like, Chris, I gotta get back up stage. He's like, I got you. Grabs me by my belt loops and the back of my shirt and literally throws me on top of the stage. Like, and I clear it. I clear that thing. Like, I didn't have to crawl. I literally cleared the stage. And that was...
Here's what I saw.
Yeah.
And to this day, this is what made it so funny to me specifically was like...
I know what you're gonna say.
Like, if you were to edit it as a video, like... so I'm stage right when we play.
Yeah.
And I, you know, in that bridge when we switch, I remember I looked down at that moment every time we play because I'm changing guitar. I'm shoegazing at that time. And so we were playing, and of course it was like the first show for the band. I was like, I was also so nervous. And
right. So was I.
Yeah. You know, all of us were.
And I had looked down at that moment, you know, to switch effects, and also just like, oh gosh, like people are looking at me right now. And I looked down, and I switched, you know, I clicked some pedals, and I looked up, and Isaac was gone. And I was like, where did That's Isaac right. go? And
That's then a I cool saw guitar effects out there.
Everything that like Isaac just said that was happening, I saw it happen. Like I saw the whole thing, like the people kind of like encircle him, like yeah, yeah, like singers in the crowd.
Yeah,
and, and then Isaac just looking around, and then Chris like. I saw Chris's like arm like go up in the air like a superhero, like he said. And
literally he, like a superhero.
Made his way to you, and then like y'all were like jumping and stuff. And then I saw you just like back on stage all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I was like, it's classic.
Dude.
One thing I remember during that time period though, and I remember we had to give Isaac some coaching after this.
Oh,
Isaac had a habit for our first two or three shows
talking way too much.
Yeah, yeah,
he would talk way too much. Like right before our first song, he'd be like, hey, what's up everyone, we're from Stanridge, we're from the Colony, Texas, and we were founded in 2017 January 1st or something.
This guy's name is JD, he's a great guy.
And this is Jason, he's my best friend, and this is Jacob, he's really good.
No, at that first show, dude, like you ended the set with a speech.
Yes, you did. You're like, thank you everyone for coming out. This was our first show. Please be on the lookout for Stanridge. Yeah.
It was Meet Me at the Meantime.
Sorry, I misspoke, but
it's okay. The point is
that you talked way too much. And even after the show, like I think even my family was there, and I was like, hey dad, from your perspective, how'd it go? He's like, yeah, it was good, but Isaac just needs to stop talking.
Which you got so much my lesson. Better at. Yes.
I learned my lesson. I filled my shoes, you know.
You did.
I think it was more of a nervousness thing.
One of my favorite old band stories, too, is can we talk about the Summer Nights story that you'd always tell before?
Gosh.
Yes.
So like,
songs about a girl.
No.
That's not how you would say it, but that was basically how you would say it.
Yeah, no, I said this song's about someone I love so much, near and dear to my heart, and I wrote the song about my grandma. And it was basically like, I miss you on these summer nights,
Yes, well, here's the thing. Is it what you would say? You'd say it, because this is how you actually originally wrote it. It was a love song kind of like for a girl you were dating at the time. But you started writing it, and then like right off the bat kind of like found a different route to take the song, and you're like, oh, I should write, like, this is more of like a song, like a nostalgic song, like for my grandma, like going up and seeing my grandma. And so like the instrumental of the song stayed the same, but you just like changed the lyrics. But you would tell that during shows, and it sounded so weird.
I remember now.
You would say like, this is a song like I originally started writing for my girlfriend, and then, but it's about my grandma. And we were just like, I was like, why would you say that?
It's so incesty kind of. It was really weird.
Yeah, I mean,
that was one where we would have like post band like Whataburger, IHOP, and I was just like, Isaac, stop telling that story.
Yeah,
I remember,
dude. You, JD, I specifically remember you being the most ridiculous.
What about me?
The most ridiculous person at our IHOP.
Yes,
our IHOP meetings.
Oh, dude.
Yes, we got it.
Post band meals. I don't know what happens to me after a concert.
Yeah.
Even though adrenaline. I have no substances in my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're coming off of that show time. High.
That's HD JD.
It wasn't the first show, but it was one of the first shows where we had that first like the IHOP like grand 3 a.m. dinner.
Oh yeah.
Where JD met
grand
Cam.
Oh yeah. Yeah, JD met the bassist for my metal project, and they hit it off. They became
bassist
lovers.
Bassist on bassist.
Yeah.
Bassist
you never
bassist
let two
action.
Bassists hang out in one spot, ever. It's just pandemonium.
Yeah. No, that was a grand IHOP thing, because I think we had our groupies at the time come.
Don't say it like that.
Groupies.
Yeah, no, we didn't have groupies. All of our fans now are married and pregnant.
But not
no,
by us.
Not seriously. By us.
Yeah, we left them in the dirt. We don't know which kids is whose.
No, it's so bad, man. No, but seriously, like, Jason can attest, we had, like...
You know, I'm going to sell my shares if we got to deal with these problems.
We have, like, two or three fans that came to almost every single show, and now...
It was, like, four.
Four. And now they're army wives with children. All of them.
Those girls specifically, I should say. No, but it was, like, our closest friends who would come to the show, plus our girlfriends at the time, plus some of those groupies...
Stop saying that word, man.
You keep using that word.
I use that term. You know what it means.
I don't. I'm using that term loosely. Anyway.
But that, because that first IHOP dinner was like just ridiculous. I sat next to JD and Cam.
So did I. I was on the other side.
And like, what were some of the things that we heard them say? Because like, I was ignoring them. I was trying to like, they were so obnoxious, but there were a couple of times, like what was the one where I tuned into their conversation for like 1 second. And all I
have
heard-
such a bad memory. I could not.
And all I heard was, I heard JD-
I need to report this to the captain.
You know, he said, I need to report this to the commander. And I was like, what are y'all talking about over there?
Yeah, that was
pretty weird. Don't even remember.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
JD is the comic relief of the band. And no, I love you for it, bro, because JD will fill the space with the most cringy, hilarious.
Okay, yeah. A lot of the time it's unwarranted.
Unwarranted. Yeah, it's like, dude, why did you say that?
Or it's like, dude, why do you keep talking?
Yes.
We love you, JD. It wouldn't be the same without you.
Yeah, just gotta move a little bit more, man.
Oh, okay.
So
still stuck on that, huh?
I mean, to be fair, I didn't really move that first show either.
No.
Like,
I think we
were all stones.
We were
all
except for Isaac.
We were all stoned.
We were all super stoned.
No, I specifically remember opening up that first show with, and I was way too over. I started it up like 150%. Yeah. Literally, so at the curtain club, they always shut the curtains on the stage so you don't see the band playing. And then
that's why they call it the curtain club.
Good job, dun, buddy. Dun, dun. Good job. And and so the band usually does like one chord ring out to get everybody ready to know that we're about to start playing. The curtains open wide open, and I just remember being so calm before that, and then as soon as I see those curtains open, I see one face of the crowd pop open. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I literally went like DEFCON 1 in my brain. And I was like, say something, you idiot. And I was just like, I don't want to get too close to Mike, but I was just like, what's up, Dallas, Texas? And they were just all like, whoa. And I was at that time, I was like, I'm on top of the world. I'm on top of the world. And I was just like, there's no greater feeling than this. And then I fall off the stage and I got humbled real quick. I got humbled real quick.
I will say the worst show that we played, not performance-wise, just environment-wise, was that one dingy dive bar in the middle
Reno's.
Of nowhere. No, not
no,
Reno's.
No, it wasn't Reno's.
In the middle of nowhere?
It was the one where they didn't
the
have
AC. Was out.
Dirty 30.
Oh, the Dirty 30.
That was my birthday.
That was your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Okay, no, I have to tell the story.
You're dehydrated now.
I literally have to tell the story. So that venue was terrible. We were treated terrible by the staff.
Yep.
The staff doubled the price of their drinks.
Yep.
They did not have AC in the middle of a summer's day.
Right.
My birthday is May 18th in Texas, for reference.
Oh,
yes.
Awful.
Yeah, so it was freaking hot. We got there early. We were all like max.
Oh,
we were sweating.
Gosh.
We had to set up. There were bands playing all day. We were all drenched in sweat. We would literally try to walk away from the venue.
The promoter booked his own band.
Yeah, the promoter. Yeah, he did without telling anyone, and he slotted himself on the
right before us.
Yeah, but here's the funny part. So people were like, because he did that, he took up our playing time.
Yeah.
So we played our set, and I remember either we had an encore that they wouldn't let us play.
We planned a longer set.
We did. And I think we had a song that they started to tell us to get off the stage. And Jacob was like, he didn't say this, but it was his birthday. So he was like, I'm going to do whatever I want.
No, it's my effing birthday.
I just started playing the song. Yeah, and I looked at the rest of y'all. I started, and it was funny as I typically don't start that song, but I started playing it. I was like, no, just start playing.
Yeah, he told us to get off, and we kind of looked at each other, and we were shrugging. We're like, oh, okay, like, I guess we'll just bail on the last song. And you're like, no, it's my birthday.
But the thing is like, that was a show that was like, yeah, we're headlining the show.
Right.
There was like a couple other bands that like we had brought out to play, like friends of ours.
Yeah.
And then we played like 24 minutes.
No, the reason they cut us short, I specifically remember this. if you looked out the back door from the stage, you could see a massive charter bus pull up.
There was like
bumping trap music.
There was like a bunch of rap shows that were happening.
Well,
right
it was
after.
Like a post club party.
No, but I remember people were walking out of the bus with smoke coming out of the bus. Yeah. It reeked of marijuana.
There were cameramen and stuff.
And then all of a sudden, our demographic is usually punk people, you know? And all of a sudden, people that are not acclimated to our genre start walking in.
It wasn't a rock show.
It was not a rock show that was happening after us. And so it was this weird where we had half of our kind of people who liked our genre and the half hip hop rap group kind of like awkwardly sharing this space listening to us.
Well, they were waiting for us to freaking leave.
I know. And then like, they made it. I remember watching the promoter for that other stuff that was going on after us walk up to the sound guy and be like, cut it.
Oh, they did. Like, we didn't end
they
up finishing did.
Yeah,
the
no,
song.
They literally cut us. They cut like
sound. We finished the song, but not in the house.
It was in the middle of the bridge where they turned us off, if I remember.
Which was, it was really annoying.
Yeah.
And, I didn't care at the time, but, like, if it were to happen now, just because it would be funny, I would totally go and, like, up to that promoter and just be like, you've really made me mad. And I'd be like, talk about that with me right now. You made me mad. And just, like, you know, just tell him. Like, that was so annoying.
It was his birthday.
Yeah, it's my freaking birthday.
Do you know what he does when he's angry on his birthday?
I thought that was so funny.
Whatever he wants.
No, you it basically said, you threw up the big middle finger to them and just was like, F you, I'm gonna play this song.
It's my birthday. I'm gonna play this.
Part of it too is just like, in an attempt to make more money, that promoter had booked like way too many vans.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I wanna bring this up. You guys remember the inflatable penis at Reno's?
I wasn't there for that. I do remember the story.
That wasn't during our set.
No, it was not during our set.
That was not during our set.
No.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so the thing, same promoters for our band at the time. Remember, I'm not going to name drop, but the guy who booked his band before us on the 30-30 show is the guy who put up this show. Basically, his agency was putting up the show. We also had Brightside from like New York or Tennessee come down, and they a super pop rock band.
They're good.
Mm-hmm. But the thing that this agency does is try to make as much money as possible and pack out artists because they need people to come to these shows so they can make money off of it. And that ends up being a really bad mixture because one, you'll get people like us, punk alternative rock, and then you'll get pop. Then you'll get dad metal.
Did he book the Nicotine Dolls show?
No.
I don't know how that happened.
Nicotine Dolls reached out to us, actually.
That was a great show.
That was tight.
Nicotine Dolls is a good band. You should look them up. That was one of the weirdest bills I've ever played.
Seriously,
on.
Yeah. No, but anyways, and then the final act of that Reno show was like this 80s cover, or not cover, but they were like very 80s sounding hair metal.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that.
Dad rock.
Dad rock. Dad metal hair rock. And whatever, I butchered that. But
hair rock.
Hair rock. But I specifically remember them being super, super disrespectful and like calling out the other artists and talking to them like, calling them babes because there was like a girl lead singer for one of them, stuff like that, and she got super offended. And then one of the last songs of their set, they literally block, you know, so you know at the car shops that have the wavy guy that's got the air
wacky wavy
they literally brought one of those out, but it was an inflatable penis.
I have no memory of this. I think at
you
this
left.
Point,
we left. No, I remember that show. Like literally, we all left.
Yeah. Okay.
It was like was it a weekday? I think it was a weekday show.
It might have been.
And I always left at those shows. I'd work in the morning, I remember hearing about it later and just being like, "Oh my gosh,
dude, it was so bad." After I said that, after I saw that, I was like, "We are never playing with this agency ever again."
Oh yeah.
And then that's when we started doing kind of our own thing. We got connected with Careful Gaze, and we've got connected with a few other people, and started playing in Denton a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And so,
but I mean, yeah, the Deep Ellum Dallas run, it was fun.
Yeah, it was great. It was a blast.
Curtain Club's not there anymore, which is super upsetting.
That was basically our home venue. I mean, we played there four times. I think it was four or five.
Majority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were basically our home venue, and we would play there with some of the other recurring artists.
Like, it was impressive, like, you know, a couple years back or whenever it was, like, we were a band of people either working or going to school full time or both still playing like shows at least around once a month, you know, like
The bouncer that worked there, he loved us. That was great.
Yeah.
He did.
Kenneth, he bought one of our shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenneth.
Whataburger.
our Whataburger copyright shirt.
Yeah. Well, dude, I remember totally still being in college when we were gigging because that same show with the terrible AC, I had to do homework. And I was doing homework.
Yes. Yep. I remember helping you with your economics homework.
Oh, dude.
That was so funny, man.
That contributed to that bad day.
Oh, dude, I was helping you in the car on the way down to Dallas with your laptop out. And then you got there, too.
Yeah, you're the homie.
Yeah, no, that specific venue also made us store our stuff outside.
Yeah,
trash. Do you remember that in like the little patio area?
I remember that.
Dude, that was so bad.
It made me think, because like I had heard of, before it closed down, which it deserved to close down.
Totally.
In between us playing there and it closing down, I heard of like a couple of shows happening there that like, my old roommate Cam wanted to go to, and I was just like thinking, I was like, some of these bands, I'm like, are they storing their stuff outside too? I'm like, there's no way they would agree to that.
Right, yeah. Right. The Convictions played there a couple weeks before.
Yeah, that was actually the show I went to before we gigged there.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Yeah, so I was there like twice and like.
You probably went there and like, yeah, this venue sucks, but it's not that bad. Then we got there and it's like, oh,
it's
man.
Worse. Yeah.
It's worse.
It's probably worse for the people playing.
They didn't have AC.
Yeah. Oh,
like I was drenched in sweat that show. I don't know about you guys.
No, I literally looked like I had taken a swim.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
That was the slipperiest I've ever been in clothes in my life.
Oh my gosh.
And you're naturally slippery.
Yeah,
you're
a slippery boy.
JD Wheeler, slippery boy.
Oh, all right, man. So I mean we could branch off from the band stories and talk about something a little more general if you would like.
I mean, I'm perfectly fine with talking about all this band stuff, man.
Does anyone else have any more stories or highlights from our gig runs? I remember actually we had the opportunity to have a show on one of the stages in South by Southwest.
No, so
we did.
We had the opportunity.
I did not hear about this.
I didn't hear about this.
We did, and it fell through.
It fell through because we couldn't make it. But there was basically like a battle of the bands at 2345, or the new whatever what the door was, in Deep Ellum. When it was a new venue, they put on a. Battle of the Bands. I remember the band lineup absolutely sucking.
Why didn't I hear about this?
No, we talked about it because of the band that won. Guess who it was?
All I hear is Static.
Yes. Dude, kidding.
And no.
We could have beaten them.
I know.
Deborah, we would have beat her.
Okay, yeah, this band is notorious for bringing what's called Deborah to their shows. And it's like the people who know them.
She's a
like,
groupie.
They're like
they
cult followers of her.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's like
thing. It is a mannequin head severed from its body.
They throw it around like a football.
Yeah, and they call it Deborah. I don't get it. They also had a little feud with us because we had a song called Summer Nights, and they had a song called Summer Nights.
Who cares,
and,
man?
It's like, dude, there's like 30 different songs called Summer Nights on
Spotify.
Yeah,
seriously. I remember one of the girlfriends of the band members comes up to me and goes, yeah, this song's not about our grandma. Like, so smug and stuff. I was like, okay.
Sorry, you talking about band beef reminded me of one of our Curtain Club shows.
My favorite kind of beef.
Oh my gosh. Where we talked to someone to boot us up in the lineup. And the band that we booted up...
Yeah, the band... That happened to, the only reason it really ended up happening to was because we just sold like a lot more tickets. And that's how it works in like the small band, local venue
Doggy
thing.
Dog world.
Yeah, they just.
How many friends do you have?
Basically, like we just, like all of our freaking parents came and stuff. And yeah, so I mean, there was only four bands playing that night. I remember the top two bands were like, I think there was even a switcheroo that happened there to them because one of them sold more tickets than the other.
Yeah, actually, the band that should have headlined. I don't know if we want to name the bands, but there was a band that should have headlined, but they ended up not because the one right below them.
Yeah, it was a band that we all wanted. Like my roommate, it was like the first show that he had come to Vars, and I was telling him about that band, and I was like, dude, this band rips. And then, I was saying that the band that was about that thought that it was about to play, I was like, this band does not rip.
You're talking about...
I don't know if we want to name the name.
It's okay, because we're not talking bad about them. Jet Black Alley Cat.
We're not talking about them.
They're great.
They're freaking awesome. Yeah. But a band played that I thought that was going to play before them. I was like, dude, this next band's like not that great. And then Jet Black came out, and I quickly turned to him. I was like, dude, no, this. I was like, this is the band. They're so good. And then the other band ended up headlining, which is sold more tickets. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
they were
just how it works.
The Curtain Club house band.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, they played there a lot, and they.
That's the only reason we got our first show is because of them.
Seriously, yeah no. It was because of the drummer, too. They're really close with the drummer at the time.
Hey, props to her for her networking.
Yeah.
She did that.
That's all that matters in the freaking music industry, man.
Yeah.
Do you know the right people?
Yeah. For real. Anyways, I don't know. I wish we could go back and change some things, but at the same time,
Dude,
these experiences we're gonna live with them.
Forever. I know, I know, it's so funny.
It was a blast. We need to play more, and I would love to play our new material for real.
Yes, yeah, seriously.
They're gonna be so fun.
That's the thing that sucks the most with the new material is that A, like we've been sitting on it, and B, it was like it almost feels like it would have been so much better if we had played some of it live before releasing it.
Oh yeah,
and it's kind of like we're gonna release it very soon, but like we're not even, you know, guaranteed that shows are going to happen anytime soon.
Not only that, we haven't even practiced these songs.
That's true. We've played only one of them together as a band. We played it quite a few times together.
Yeah.
Like a year ago.
I mean, we could learn them. And honestly, like if we're really getting the Meet Me in the Meantime stuff out of our set, which I think we all agree.
We totally are.
Then everything in the EP is basically a set. So we just learn it from top to bottom and play it at shows.
Yeah. That plus Waiting Game.
Yeah, we have a couple wild cards in there.
Yeah, we could throw Waiting Game, and if we want, technically, we could play Cold Hearted for like an encore or something. Yeah, no. Who am I kidding?
How? What's the runtime of the EP?
Good question. I can actually check.
If you stay, I'll go. We should play that one.
No, man.
There's so many songs that JD loves, but the rest of the band hates.
You mean that's the Blink-182 one?
The Blink-182 song, yeah.
Look, I just made one of my best bass lines. On that song specifically. I don't know why it ended up being that song, but because of that, I just love playing it.
To be fair, that was another song that after that Dirty 30 show, my cousin was at that show, and he was like, bro, that one song y'all played was so cool, and it was that song.
Interesting. I mean, we could take those songs and revamp them, maybe.
We've got so much better stuff in the pipeline.
Yeah,
let them die.
We gotta let the past die, kill it if you must.
I'm fine with that. By the way, the runtime is about 30 minutes.
For the EP.
Yeah. See, I actually like that because I think it would be awesome if, you know, we're like entering the set and we just played 30 minutes of music and we're like, hey, we're called this, here's our Spotify, look us up, blah, blah, blah. Have a good night.
Albums are only like 30, 35 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, albums are getting so much shorter.
It's the industry because people and I think it's because of TikTok. TikTok has shortened society's attention span.
It's not
so people
TikTok.
Don't listen to full length albums anymore. You know, it's like people want singles.
Oh, TikTok is a symptom of the problem.
Is if you look at like a lot of like really popular hip hop songs that have freaking gotten like bajillions of plays and stuff, and they're like 90-second song, and it's like why make, you know. The only reason songs are 3.5 minutes is because of like that was just kind of like the length that we were like, oh, that's the average human tension span. It's like about that long.
Yeah.
It's like if you can make it shorter or longer and it just be just as successful, it's like who freaking cares?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
I mean, who doesn't know every word of that song, you know? Yeah. But like, you know, it just depends. And so
it does.
Yeah, I like 3.5 minute long songs though, so we'll stick to that.
Dude, I mean, there's a few bands that I listen to who have 15-minute songs, and that is gnarly.
I mean, like I grew up listening to like post rock and stuff, and it was just like, here's a 15-minute long song where 13 minutes is the rhythm guitarist droned on an A note for 12 minutes. It's like great, basically. I love this song.
Yeah. You're just sitting there head bobbing to it. You're just like, it's great.
For real, but
it's, man.
I mean, if you think about it, it's like if you do like a generic, like verse one, chorus, verse two, bridge, double chorus, maybe with an intro, then that's basically 3 minutes anyway.
There is a formula, you know, and pop labels use this all the time. Everybody who listens to music can hear it. You don't have to be a musician to know this. It's like there is a tried and true method to making songs that will 95% of the time make it a successful song, you know? And then the rest of that comes from products, advertising, and marketing.
Yeah.
You know, it's
so why aren't we good at any of that?
Because we are a self-made band and we want it the hard way.
Okay, well, here's the thing though. It's like every song that tries to make it big and successful, like a song that you make to get money, it's all oriented around the vocals and having a earworm chorus. Mm-hmm. And
sorry, guys.
But like, I would say our music is a lot more focused on like the rhythm and like guitars and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't have catchy choruses, which we do, and you do write catchy stuff, but it's like we focus on everything else, but other people kind of hone in on the earworm.
It's because all of us are like our own musicians. Like it's just we're so far off. Like we came together as established musicians.
I mean, basically.
We didn't come together and start making music together.
Establish as I'm assuming you mean establish in the fact that we knew our instruments.
We had been playing. We knew what we liked. Yes, we know what we liked. You know your sound. You know all of that kind of stuff, and we wanted to accentuate that in every song. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
I
like
will
everyone
say as an exception. I had picked up bass to be a part of the band.
Okay, well, you picked it up fast and you killed it, and you're still killing it.
Okay, yeah.
You already played guitar before.
I played guitar since I was like 11.
Well, just take away two more strings.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
It's that simple, man.
I mean, you did it great, and you're still doing it great, so.
And that was such a happy time for you. I remember when you bought your first bass.
Oh, yeah.
What bass? You were using a hand-me-down bass for the longest time.
It's not here.
It was a white Squire bass.
Yeah,
the white Squire with the black strings.
And then there was the red five string that was canned. Oh, it's right there.
Is it
still canned?
It was.
No, I'm actually okay. There's a friend of a friend who gave this to me, and I don't know where he is on this planet, but I still have this.
It's basically his
by extension.
Oh, did you play that bass for Levy?
Yeah, there were some five.
Yeah,
there
I played
some
it for Levy
songs.
And Dogfight.
the drop C tracks. Well,
now that I think about it, we switched tuning so many times, and we brought multiple instruments.
That was totally
it was so
overkill.
Unnecessary.
We did not need
to bring that into
any instruments. Okay, that's one thing that I kind of wanted to do going into Who I'll Never Be. Each song was in standard, and actually, Jacob...
I brought the one drop D
you
song.
You brought the one drop D song.
Because when you first sent me the demos for the EP and I was like playing along to them, the last song on it, it's the title track, right? It's Who I'll Never Be.
The last song, yeah.
I was playing along to it. This song's in drop D. And so I tuned the guitar down and started playing to it. And then because the song before it was the song that we cut.
Yeah.
And so originally it was like the first four songs are on B and then it goes into B flat. And I was like, so the last song and the second to last song need to fade into each other or, you know, transition kind of. Be in the same key at least. And so when I started writing, I couldn't describe it now, but there's a really clever way you can use drop D tuning with B flat key. And so I wrote that song in B flat and I thought the last song was in B flat. And so I tuned it down to drop D.
Yeah.
And so now it's like we kind of rearrange, but there are voicings of chords on the last song that are on the album, I don't think are going to be drop D chords, but I think they'll be drop D chords because we had to make it work.
Yeah, because if we want it to be seamless live, we'll probably have to end up playing Who I'll Never Be.
And that was I was gonna say that earlier. I totally forgot to say about the new EP. It was like the thing about it that is freaking awesome to me is how like there's moments on the EP where, and this is nothing like any of our old songs were like, where there's moments where like everything like just goes like spacey ambient for like a little bit, or there's like intros to songs where it's like it takes a second to kind of like fade in, and I'm like that makes me so excited to play that stuff live because it goes like hard from that into just like super like hard hitting like moments
and
songs.
That's the musicians inside of us, you know.
And that's where it's like when you talk about like the whole like, you know, you could take the top 40 and you could just take the vocals and just put them over the other instrumentals and they would still be top 40 songs like when you take a band typically is writing to highlight like guitar moments, drum moments, bass moments, you know, it just becomes more of like it isn't as popular a thing anymore, that kind of dynamic in music. Right.
Yeah. Speaking of like copying and pasting, have y'all seen that YouTube video where this guy takes all these top 40 type bro country songs? He gets them all in the same key and he's got all the tracks like in and out on like Logic or some DAW or something.
He
like
pitch
that.
Shifts them to the same key?
Yeah, he pitch shifts them to the same key and he's just like putting in and out instruments and vocal takes from different songs and they're all going together completely
seamlessly. I've seen something like that and it's hilarious. That's the thing. So like pop country is the biggest offender of that. You know?
I totally agree.
I'm going to say this right now.
Luke Combs.
I cannot stand Pop Country.
You know what I mean? I will sit down. Dude, you could play Taylor Swift all day. I'll probably even listen to like Katy Perry.
She's not even country anymore. I'm just going to say it. She's not country.
I'm talking about pop.
Okay.
That's like, pop. You know, like, I would be so brave. But, dude, when it comes to, like, pop country, like, old country, I'm in.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I mean, Johnny Cash and
Heck yeah. Merle Haggard and stuff. I'm like, this is great. But, like, you know, the thing is, even old pop, I'm like, pop from, like, the 80s and stuff like that. I'm like, the 70s and stuff. I'm like, I love this. But it's, like, current pop country, which is like presents itself as country. Mm-hmm. Once again, this is such a brave opinion I have. I know like so many people.
Everyone has said this before, but there's
like a couple artists that have like gone that route. Like Cassidy Pope is one where she was in a pop punk band.
Really?
She was in a pop punk band called Hey Monday. I saw her on Warped Tour in like 2010.
What?
And it was awesome.
Shout out to Warped
Tour. And she went on The Voice and won The Voice as a country. Like whoever, what's his face? What's the guy, the country guy that's on The Voice? I can't remember.
Blake Shelton. Blake Shelton.
He was like, "Oh, you're gonna do country," and then I remember like I didn't watch that. I don't watch The Voice, but I remember like paying attention to it kind of. And she won, and she's like uber successful pop country artist. And it's like, but I know that she's like a super talented musician. I'm just like, you know, it's one of those things.
Cha-ching. I hate that generic rich country accent singing with like a trap hi-hat behind it.
The entire economy of Nashville relies on that.
Yes, yeah.
Yes,
Nashville would crumble.
It makes me want to throw up. It sucks.
Oh, wow, buddy. Yeah.
Like, I'm revolting right now just thinking about it.
No, this is why I genuinely think every person should listen to some sort of underground music. Because if
that's what we recommend, basically,
it's literally what we are as Standridge is. We are undiscovered. We play music for us. We write things.
We're a diamond in the rough.
We are a diamond in the rough. Frick, man. Listen to us, man. Just make us.
Well, they can't listen to us because we don't have the album out yet.
No, we do have Waiting Game out.
Yeah, but we came out last month, right?
Dude, when did that single come out? Like 2015?
Yeah. I mean, the song's
so long ago.
The song's good. In our full-length release, we'll probably re-release a version of it and put it on that album.
Yeah.
But I think Who I'll Never Be is a little more representative of what we want to do with Standridge.
For sure.
True.
Yeah.
It's a hard left to be like, this is where we want to go.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but everybody should at least dabble in music that is not on the top 40 or top 100 charts, you know.
That's why we recommend going on something like Bandcamp and looking at the super the bedroom producer guys who are making music, or checking out stuff on the Spotify recommended or Apple Music recommended.
Like, I mean, most people do have Spotify or something, or Apple Music, something similar. And what you should do is like check out. It kind of sounds sellouty, but it's like you should go to like those Discover pages where it's like recommended to you, because sometimes really, you know, undiscovered.
For sure.
And I found music through there, like really small bands that probably don't even exist anymore, but we're only getting a few hundred listens a year. That I'm like, I love this, you know?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, no, it's just a super flooded market, man. Music is so flooded.
Well, it's more accessible to do now more than ever.
If you have a keyboard and if you have a laptop and you have $200,
you could do a podcast.
You could do a podcast. Yeah. No, you can make at least a drum beat. Literally record your voice with your computer microphone and auto-tune it and then sample it, and
so
then boom, you've
maybe
got
as a setup for a future episode, basically my solo music that I do.
We'll probably have both of you on individually for another podcast in the future, and we could highlight.
I am down.
Yeah, I mean, we could JD, you could pick an artist that we'll highlight, and we'll have personal conversations with you.
Yes.
And then Jacob, we'll have a separate artist spotlight for your solo project stuff.
So I need to.
Can I have Jacob as my artist
he
spotlight?
Picks me.
That'd be hilarious. Like the episode before you come on too.
So that
you
would
talk
make,
about this guy. Yeah,
that would make the spotlight for himself redundant, basically.
Now we'll accentuate that album. We'll talk. We'll dig deep into that.
Yeah, unless we want to wait for your newest release or something, and then
I need to work on that.
Yeah, man. No, I will say this: the music that you've written by yourself, I've shown it. I've played that on dates before. I've played your music on dates in the past. Like, there was this one time where I took a girl out to the lake.
It got him some game, dude.
Yeah, it got me some freaking game, bro. No, there's this one girl before.
Talking about Buckshot?
What?
Buckshot?
What's Buckshot?
What are you talking about?
Game.
Oh my.
Like, hunting game.
Dude, prime example of why sometimes we look at JD and ask him why he even opened his mouth. You know, that was honestly so far out there, JD. Oh my gosh, dude, I freaking love it. But anyways,
no. Buckshots for shotguns.
No, but bucks are also deer.
You use buckshot for bucks. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Buckshot is a type of.
Talk in the mics, please, boys.
Yeah.
I can't with this guy.
You shot. Wait. Okay. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I said buckshot when I was referring to the deer.
Yes.
Which is wrong.
Buckshot's I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Buckshot kills the buck. Speaking of bucks, how much is a share?
In Stanridge?
In Stanridge.
We're not public.
Yeah, no, we're private. We're privately owned.
We don't have our IPOs
yet. Yeah, no. We're semi-banned, semi-tangent, business podcast here. JD is hurting.
That's a perfect
Jacob,
example
literally.
Of I don't even remember what you were talking about.
Yeah, not me neither.
Hey, that's the point of the temper tangents.
Yeah,
I do want to say one thing.
Go for it.
Jacob Martin's music is out on Spotify. If you're ever interested in going to check it out.
Like, it's under.
I know we weren't really talking about it too much, but you can listen to it right now if you wanted to.
So I will say, if you search Jacob Martin on Apple Music or something, you'll find a handsome country guy. Ignore him. Look for the moody, better looking guy.
His profile picture looks like you kind of had too many drinks at a bar, and he's like, wait, is that the gray one where you're standing out on the lake?
No.
I've changed it since
then.
Okay, I remember walking into your room after you took that photo. Not immediately after, but the camera was set up, and I was asking, like, why was the camera pointed at the corner of the wall or whatever? And you showed me that photo.
Literally, I'm so DIY, I take my own artist photos.
Yeah, seriously. Nice. Dude, I want to know how you went from a 1975 ripoff to a Dan and Shay ripoff.
I'm going back towards the 1975 ripoff.
Yeah. Good. Love it.
Awesome. Love it.
Love it. If we made it.
Another. Oh, nice, dude. Nice. Dude,
sick reference, bro.
Thanks, man.
One thing I do want to ask you about that I'm genuinely curious about.
Genuinely.
I'm genuinely curious. no.
Wait, I remember an inside joke from last night. The Citizens of Australia thing.
Citizens of Australia.
Okay, podcast listeners don't care about inside jokes.
Yeah.
Just thanks, I'd love to be part of one
day. Thanks, buddy. But you're most... I can't talk. No, anyways. Your most recent release...
Yeah.
Is about a failed relationship. But...
Calling it off.
Yeah. Have you... had a relationship like
I've never known if you've ever been in a relationship or out of a relationship while I've known you.
He's a vicarious lover,
whatever that means.
he loves girls through other girls' relationships.
I mean,
there's a Tool song called Vicariously.
I mean, you could write songs about anything. Like, if you have a,
the song is not about nothing, but it is just like definitely take that one with a grain of salt. If you were to listen to it, you'd kind of understand. If you hear the instrumental and be like, oh, okay, like, it's not like a ironic song, but it is kind of like, I was writing to the vibe of that song.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it was just how it feels. A big like stadium anthem, like rock and roll heartbreak song.
Teenage girls relate.
But kind of song. Everyone has experiences and stuff where you can like draw from that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's really easy as a musician to be like, the smallest things, you can amplify them, you know?
Seriously.
I've been disappointed about a human relationship in my life, too.
Exactly.
But that's exactly what I was saying. That's what vicarious means. It's like, even though, like, someone else went through that experience, but you're just taking from that experience. And we actually talk about this a lot. A lot of what Isaac writes is about just my heartbreak. I'm serious. Literally.
Right. Yeah.
So sweet.
Well, it's a sick cycle between us. But, I mean, thankfully, our EP that's coming out is more of like a emotional internal struggle besides relationships, but we have a crap ton of relationship songs we're about to release too.
Yeah, we've got so many songs to show you guys. Like, we
really need to ramp it up, man.
We do. No, but both of y'all worked on a really sick demo that Alexis, JD, and I need to work on. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's been a couple of demos that we've worked on that it's like it makes me like really excited for the future, because it's like these are demos and they're like so good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember we were touching.
We worked on here.
Yeah, we were touching up on Who I'll Never Be for a bit. And then afterward, the whole band was together and we're like, hey, let's just write a new song together. And I pulled up some demo I had and we literally transformed the song. We finished the song that night and it's already like really good.
One other thing I do love about the new album that, or the EP that we're releasing, we go from like grungy alt rock, like punk rock, to almost kind of like a pop melodic rock vibe in one of our songs. It's just like it throws you for a
loop. Wait, on the EP?
On the EP. I'm talking about Decay, the one where you sing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like it goes.
No, what I
really like that song.
What I really like about Decay, even though it's kind of built like a punk pop song, the chords are so dissonant that it takes that away.
Play a little blurb of it right now
from Decay.
Yeah, play the chorus.
Okay.
I think I'm losing it. I think I've lost my grip. Someone tell me I'm not too far gone. Too far gone.
Dude, that song is honestly such a banger. I get pumped every time I listen to it. It's my girlfriend's favorite. It's
the quote-unquote softest song, too.
It is our softest song, but if you listen to it, like Jason's point, there are so many dissonant, dirty, grungy chords inside
of
that.
So that's what I was trying to say. Like, it's a four-chord chord progression, which is like a general pop structure, but the chords are voiced to be not very
to be standard. That is a standard
honestly,
sound.
Honestly, that's our best four-chord song we've done.
yeah, seriously. And, dude, like, I really hope people don't, like... People haven't heard. Okay, no, never mind. Yeah. So obviously Jacob was singing that chorus. That's the. Yeah. I think that's the only song you've carried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do more.
It sounds so dope, dude. And you know, there's also some screams in that song that we've experimented with my voice and stuff. We give it that dark tones. It is a really moody album.
Yeah. It's intentionally dark.
Yeah.
But I love how that is becoming more ingrained in the DNA of the band, because some of the demos we've done have like some like screams on them from you that are just like so sick. Yeah. I'm like, dude, this is going to be so awesome when these songs are like out there.
Oh, I'm so pumped. We have so much more in the pipeline, really. Mm-hmm. So and there's a lot you guys actually haven't heard yet.
Yeah,
seriously. Have we played songs live where you unveiled the screams?
Yeah. No, there was one time. Okay, not live, but there was one time where we were practicing right before the pandemic, and we were playing for Jason Kelly, and because he was upstairs, he was at the in the booth or something like that, and that's the first time I had ever screamed, in a live setting.
Well, yeah.
It was just practice.
But not actual
rehearsals. Like, you had a show, you haven't.
No. Yeah. I can't wait till I do it, though.
Yeah.
It is going to be so dope.
Yeah.
Don't ruin your voice.
No. Yeah. I've been learning. throw back to our last podcast. I don't know if you guys know this, but I learned to scream from Jennifer. I think I've told you this.
You've told me.
I've
makes so much sense.
I've learned to scream from a Jennifer and I's fight.
Oh my God.
Maya, I can't really do it. I don't. Yeah. I have such a womanly voice, but. My exposure to it, where I've realized where I've realized that it's tangible, it's there, is from frisbee golf. So
it's or like freaking Rocket League, dude. I'm sitting there and I'm throwing up these like, you know, these Halo. Most guttural screams.
Yeah,
JD. Anytime I play Halo and y'all are, even if. Yeah. And when Jason was over and I was just playing Halo, and like Jason and
you
Jacob
played for like a minute and a half and started
and
yelling.
I was already yelling at the TV.
No, dude. Okay, super tangent here. One time we had a Halo LAN party here at Jason's townhome. Jacob will rage harder than any other person on this planet when it comes to Halo.
I am the self-admitted like worst Halo player, and I'm the angriest Halo player.
You're also a PC player. You're playing controller, so that's like true. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Well,
so yeah, this some of the guys from Stanridge. Be on the lookout for our album. We'll probably talk more about it on a future podcast when it's closer to being released. And if you follow our socials, which is just Stanridge on Instagram, I believe. I don't know if it has
Stanridge Band, I think.
Stanridge Band on Instagram. Excuse me. Give them a follow and check us out for updates. And any last words, guys?
Thanks to you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Come on, JD. JD, say something. Say something,
yeah,
JD.
What have you got for our closer?
Damn it, Bobby. I thought you already closed off this podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, guys. Okay, see you next week.
Thank you guys for being on the podcast. And
tarnation.
Next week, episode 2. See you guys then.
He needs to get a bit. I'll understand if you won't listen, because I knew I swore I'd never talk to you.